When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Get down! Jarrett Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrett, man, I love you on The Score, man. It's so awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already two touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Jarrett Payton. He joins us now on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Jarrett, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. How you guys doing, man? I'm on the West Coast, but...
What are you doing out there?
Wow, look at you.
Got up early for you guys. So, man, pretty cool. I'm finishing off Legends of the Big Game, which I've done for the past, I think this is year six or five, I'm not really sure, but where I go around, talk to the guys that played in the NFL, their stories, but also what they're doing now. So talk about their Super Bowl stories and then kind of what they got going on now. So I've done Drew Brees earlier this year in New Orleans. And then I came back out here a couple of weeks ago, sat down with Steve Young and talked about his passion for Flag football and his daughters. And this one is a unbelievable treat. It just kind of fell into my lap and I'm super excited about it. But I get the chance to sit down today with Fred Biletnikoff, 81 years old, and
wow.
talk about his Super Bowl experience, and then also talk about what's driving him now, his passion. And this will all air Super Bowl week in Chicago, but all around the country, Super Bowl week. So I'm super excited about it.
Wow, that's a great get. Fred Blair.
Yeah, I know, man.
You might want to wipe your hands. He might have stickum on his hands after you shake hands with him.
Hey, I was just thinking when I was listening to you guys coming back from break, talking about Flag and Athens. Do you think that Matt Eberflus is wearing those sweaters while he's up there on the podium?
Well, he might want to do that next week to distract everybody from what he's saying, because he needs to look good if he can't sound good.
It's a tough one right now, you guys. I was leaving yesterday to get on the plane and just listening to, you know, just all of the audio. And I tweeted out that you can't coach scared. And that's what it seems like right now. And that's tough when you feel the heat coming a little bit and things aren't going your way. You kind of pull back. And to me, this is the opportunity, the mindset where you have to be like, you know, what do I got to lose? Let's go out here and figure it out. And we saw it documented in other games where if you take the opportunity, you never know if you run another play. You never know what's going to happen. That's the game of football. Like anytime that you touch the football, you know, there could be, you could fumble the ball or a bad snap or whatever it is. There's always something that can happen. But having faith in your guys and saying, listen, I'm going to roll with you. Let's see what we can do, man. A run could turn into a touchdown. So and we saw that on Sunday night. So it just, I think it's frustrating for a lot of Bears fans and trying to figure out how did we get to this point.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. This idea that, oh my gosh, you know, there could be a fumble. Oh, we could jump off sides. We'd have five more yards. Oh, what if there's a holding penalty? Like, that's not the way to look at it. You know, you wanna push your advantage. You wanna get the ball as close as humanly possible. It's 30-something seconds left. It's second down. You could probably run two more plays if you were so inclined. I'm not suggesting you do that, but there was no need to just let the clock tick down and then take the whatever. I think they might have been so surprised that they got out of third and 19 or 18, whatever it was, and managed to get to that point where they could make a field goal. Maybe they just got carried away. I but you're so right. You just can't coach scared. It's happened twice now, and you know, you, and again, it's always the play before the game deciding play. It's deciding to let them get 13 yards because you're not going to defend, so they then set up a Hail Mary. It's deciding to kill the clock so you can just get to the field goal instead of trying to get a few more yards. It's just I feel like the poor coach has lost the plot as a result of it.
Well, I was listening to you guys, and I heard David just say something. You know, no one ever is – not me. I'm not, and I heard Dave say this, that no one's like want someone to lose their job. That's not the case. We all we do is go by the numbers. You look at the numbers. If you want to be analytical, and especially in this day and age with all the sports, it comes down to like understanding and knowing a little bit about where your kicker is really good at and what the numbers are. And I know there's numbers being thrown on all around all the time, but in the mindset of Matt Eberflus, it was like, yo, let's just kick this thing and get out of here. Like, let's just get out of here. And looking at what his quarterback did leading up to that moment, that's the part that gets me, because that was a defining moment for Caleb Williams, you know, and in this rivalry in the NFL as a rookie to be able to, you didn't get it in Washington, right, where because of the Hail Mary. But this was your opportunity against your arch rivals to be able to lead your team down, make a couple big plays, and then walk off as the hero, which I think brings a lot of confidence. And for me, which I'm looking at as the big picture here, I mean, a lot of other people are in the structure of the organization might not be here, but Caleb's going to be here for a while. You know what I'm saying? When you look at it, when you look at who is a fixture, he's going to be here for a while. And so I want to make sure that he's moving down the right path, and pass off to Thomas Brown for the game that he called on Sunday of really kind of making Caleb look a little bit more comfortable and catering to his needs and what he does well. And I think I don't want to say collaboration, but I think just the mindset of both guys together is something that hopefully can move forward and be something that's special for the season ends. I mean, that's all you can hope for, that he's on that trajectory going up on the end of the season.
Just curious, Jared, when you look at this season and how it has gone and what might lie ahead, where do you, in terms of responsibility, if you want to call it blame, but how do you separate or make a distinction between Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles?
Oh, man, Dave, that's a good question. I mean, I think they're – I want to know – this is tough. I was thinking about this last night. 14-30 is Bears head coach. Your record speaks for yourself. There's something to say right now that Matt Eberflus is trying to defend himself and feeling like he's on the hot seat. I think it's separate. I think my biggest question is as of right now is, I shouldn't even say question. What I want right now, and I think what Bears fans have been signaling to me as I walk around the city and social media, is they want to hear from Ryan Poles at this moment. 4-game losing streak, haven't heard from him. He's kind of been, not nowhere to be found. So, I mean, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable hearing what his thoughts are, because this is the team that he helped build. I want to know where his mindset is. And I know maybe the question of, like, what are you going to do with your head coach by the end of the season might come up, but there's ways to answer those questions. And even if you wanted to be technical, just we're not talking about that right now. We'll figure that out at the end of the season. But just to know what's going on with his team at this moment, we haven't heard from him. And that's question marks surrounding my head. Is he just leaving Eberflus up there to kind of fend off for himself, or is at the end of the season that it's going to be a foregone conclusion that he's gone, or is the the thing about if he wins a couple of games down the stretch here, is Matt Eberflus still here? There's a lot of questions that surround me, but I think one of the biggest things is trying to not just separate them, but as of right now, I just want to hear what Ryan Poles has to say about what's going on at this moment. And we haven't. The trade deadline came. We didn't hear from him then. I just think he owes that to the Bears fans out there.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's interesting. I look at where they're at and I wonder, was firing Shane Waldron a good move? Because they did get better. You did see a simplification of some of the things they were trying to do. You did see getting the ball out quicker, getting Caleb Williams. He played a very good game. He played a very good game in the fourth quarter that last series. You know, he's robbed, because of the blocked field goal, he's robbed of another kind of game-winning performance late in the game. And we've seen that happen twice now in four games, Jared. And I'm just curious, did you feel like the change of coordinator worked? And will it work against Brian Flores? You know, we're still kind of figuring out who the Vikings are, but they've been winning now with defense, where earlier in the year they were scoring a lot.
Yeah, I definitely like the setup of just seeing, you know, what Thomas Brown did. I think it comes in, there's something to say about getting into plays faster, the communication that's there between the OC and your quarterback. And I can see that with Caleb Williams, he felt a little bit more at ease and comfortable. It's going to be difficult, I think, anytime that you play on a Sunday against any team. But the one thing I think going for Thomas Brown right now is that there's not a lot of tape on him of what he does. And so maybe you can find a way to, you know, maybe cook up some plays here and there that haven't been seen. But we always know Flores is known for his defense. That's what I think of first when I think about this Minnesota team, and they are trying to figure out who they are. Offensively, 19 points is good, because we didn't see a scoring drive for a long time from the Bears. But the hardest part is, can you score? I mean, 19 points is good, but it's not enough. You got to be able to score more points. And as of right now, I haven't seen that from this Bears offense yet. And so that's why it's hard for me to say that they can go out and beat anybody down the stretch, when offensively we haven't seen enough of them. It was a good start for, you know, with Thomas Brown taking over. I thought the change needed to be made. I didn't think that the hire was sufficient from the beginning, just from the conversations that I had from people. But what do I know? I mean, I'm just a guy here. But I was just talking to people surrounding him. I thought that it wasn't a great fit for Caleb. And hopefully now, just moving forward, that Thomas Brown can be that guy that can help him kind of progress, not regress like we were hearing a couple of weeks ago, but progress as he heads off to the back end of this schedule.
Speaking of regression, this defense that was supposedly going to be elite and has had its moments, and certainly they've suffered some injuries, but all teams deal with attrition. What do you think is the biggest concern or problem with the Bears defense?
And the both sides of the ball, David, have kind of neglected. They've neglected of really making sure that that is the focal point, and that's what needs to be if this team is going to have championship aspirations down the line in the future, is building out the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. That's the tough part. When you lose a guy like Billings, that's a huge thing where, you know, that's your guy that's eating up two guys and causing havoc and making sure that other guys and linebackers can get off. And there needs to be a better pass rush. On the flip side, on the offensive side, the revolving door of the injuries that have happened on that offensive line and moving guys around, that you have to be able to, and I say this on this air all the time, dominate on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. It's the only way. It's the only way you can win. And you're, guess what? Bears fans are going to see a lot of that when you play the Lions, because that's what they do. They get off the ball, and sometimes they say, listen, we don't have to throw the ball. All we need to do is just dominate your guy on the other side, and our offensive line is going to do that. We're going to get pushed, and we're going to run the football. And, you know, the years that I go to the Super Bowl, I've been going since 99. It's rare that you see, you know, bad, even on the I'm flipping to the offense now, offensive line, where you see a bad offensive line and a quarterback win. And, you know, those, I look back at those years, what Joe Burrow and the Rams, his offensive line that year, horrible, but he didn't win. He got there, but didn't win. The year that the COVID year with Patrick Mahomes against the Bucks, he was running for his life. He was there, but he didn't win. And you could be as good as you want as a quarterback, but if your offensive line and you can't dominate like those defensive lines were dominating, you can't win. So I think moving forward, the focus is on the trenches and building it out. The way that it was built, it was built backwards. It's been built backwards, and you can't do that. So I think moving forward, Ryan Poles' focus has to be on making sure that those both sides of the football and the line of scrimmage are sufficient.
So it's interesting, you've been going to the Super Bowl since 99. It was in 1999, the Bears won on a blocked field goal in Green Bay.
Right.
And that was Brian Robinson blocks the punt and then says it's that Walter was pushing him from back. I mean, yeah. It was just like a beautiful moment, Jared. And I thought about that as I watched the Bears lose the game. And I you know, it's hard to believe you just referenced 25 years.
I know. I'm telling you, I was sitting there wondering too. I had a video, you guys, ready to go. Like, I had that reaction video,
yeah.
And I was like filming myself, and my mom was in the background, and she was just like, "Oh, they're gonna win! Are they gonna win?" I'm like, "Yeah, they're about to get this win." And next, you know, I see the block, and I looked, and I'm so glad that my couch was right there by me, because I threw my phone down, and I can't break another screen on my iPhone because my wife will kill me. So I didn't even post the video because I was so upset. I was like, are you kidding me? We're to this point. Like, we were right there, but this is who we've been.
Right.
This is who we've been for a long time. And 11 straight losses to that team from Wisconsin. Like, we can't do that. We can't do that. What we all talk – that first, when Poles was hired, what did he say, man? We are going to take the North, and we're never going to give
it's
it back.
It's a good podcast.
We're not there at all. We're not close to being there, but we all want to be there. We all want to be there. So we got to make moves. We got to make smart moves, whatever it is, smart moves moving forward to get to that point. Because as of right now, looking at the Lions and where they are, they don't look like they're giving it up anytime soon. And lo and behold, they might be the team that I'm seeing from the NFC that's going to be in New Orleans come Super Bowl week.
I agree.
Great stuff, Jared. Thank you, buddy. Great
safe,
catching
safe
up.
Safe travels. Have a good, with,
yeah,
a good time with
the
Blitnikoff.
The Scarecrow, isn't that his nickname?
I don't know.
Oh, I think
find
so.
Find out. Good stuff, Jared.